If you will take your Bibles, we're going to go back to Judges chapter 6. I had a second part to this message, and last week was our anniversary Sunday and kind of interrupted that and didn't plan that out too well. But we talked about the book of Nehemiah and how Nehemiah says, hey, let's rise and build. Let's get this thing done. And now let's come back to Judges chapter 6, because I wanted to conclude on this message here on some points that I didn't get to get to. I think are very helpful to us, again, in our new year of striving to thrive and not just survive, as we've said. We're trying to do that. And I hope you're staying busy and active for the things of God. I know you are, but especially in your Bible reading, in your prayer life, I hope that you're still staying true to that. And it's not always that we want to read our Bibles or want to pray. There's not always a passion or desire to do that. And when that fades, duty ought to step in and say, well, that's my responsibility. Let me do it. And force yourself to do it, and that will greatly help you. I want to encourage you to treat it that way because it is that important. And as we thrive in the new year, now we talked about this 2 weeks ago. If you can remember back, I don't even remember what I preached last week, okay? But you think back about it, and we saw how Gideon was called of God and said, I want to use you in a mighty way. Gideon says, well, who are you talking to, me? He says, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon says, well, Lord, I'm the least of the least. I don't know what to do. I'm not good at anything, really. And we see these things come to pass. We won't read all of it. But he brings them out, and he says, I want you to go forward and do something. Notice verse 12 again. Verse 12, he says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles with our fathers told of us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. The Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now, this is, again, this is what we clarified or emphasized the last time, 2 weeks ago, was that God wants to take us from where we are to where he's at. And when he does that, he wants to take us from here to bring us over into his will. And he desires to do that on the way over to his will. He does not strip us of all of our talent, all of our dreams, and all of our hopes. When I talk to a young person about that, surrendering their life to God, they often say, well, I have these dreams and aspirations over here, and if I surrender my life to God, I got to give all that up. Well, you don't. Because God wants to, in this process of taking you from where you are in your will to his will, he actually enhances all of that. He's given you that talent for a reason. Okay? You didn't just wake up with a desire to be a nurse or physician or a pilot or whatever you want to be. Okay, God gave that to you. And he wants to use that now for his glory, not for your own. Too many Christians today, myself included, we waste our talents on self-centered things, carnal things. And God says, I want to use you for that. So he wants to take us from where we are to where he is. Now, you know the theme of the book of Judges. The very last verse of the book of Judges says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's the theme of the entire book. The people would rise up and try to do things, and they would fail, and God would send a judge to them, which was basically a prophet. And he'd say, now this is what the Lord said. And the people said, we're just trying to do what's right. Now remember, it's not that they were trying to do what was wrong. They were trying to do what was right. And I have another message I preach. Doing right by the wrong standard, right? They were doing right according to their own standard. And that's America today, by the way. We judge. Well, I think that's the right thing to do. What does the Bible say, though? Well, I think that's the right way to go. What does the Bible say, though? See, that's where we got to come back to. And you need to get your philosophy of life, if you want to call it that, from the Bible. We don't do what's right in our eyes. We do what the Lord tells us to do. Now, again, we have a book that we follow. You know that. So God's looking for leadership in sometimes the most unsuspecting places and unsuspecting people. I like that. And this is what he says. This is the emphasis of the New Testament. This is the emphasis of the crucified life, quote unquote. Romans 12, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, I would present myself to the Lord, but I don't have a lot of talents, you know. I'm the least of my people, and I'm from the least tribe of Manasseh, and Lord, I'm just threshing wheat in the backside over here. Nobody cares about me. I have no time. He says, that's exactly what I'm looking for. If you notice throughout the Bible, as you read your Bible, I find this so interesting. Do you know God always, almost always chooses the fella or the lady who sees themselves as nobodies? He never goes to the mighty man. The great example is David and his brothers. He says, call your sons. And Jesse goes, calls all the sons. Now, my firstborn, he's tall, isn't he? Man, he's good looking. He's strong, but he's lazy. Okay, he didn't add that. The second boy came, and he's even better looking. Man, I mean, all the girls like this guy. I mean, he's talented, and he can play every instrument. The third, he goes down the list. And he goes, none of these guys are the one. Where, do you have another son? I mean, am I confused, Lord? Am I getting mixed signals? He said, no, he's got another son. He's just not being honest with you. Well, go get him. Well, David, he's the runt of the family. You don't want him, do you? You don't want him. Yes, brings him. He anoints David in front of his brothers. Now, if you study that story, very interesting. His brothers are only mentioned a few other times throughout the Old Testament. And you find his brothers are always following David. They're serving David in some capacity. Basically, they're a bunch of deadbeats. This is the same thing with the 12 tribes. Jacob's sons, there's only one that was really a leader or one that went after the things of God. The others are basically deadbeats. Jacob says, we need food. Go get food. Well, what do you want us to do? He had to send him to Egypt to get food. Go and serve, basically, Joseph. You know this. I'm saying God's looking for somebody, not like you, because you people are very talented, good-looking, and everything else, okay? Looking for somebody like me. Somebody that he can use. And don't ever let those things hinder you from doing the will of God. Well, I have an ailment. I have a disease. That's who he's looking for. Paul says we comfort one another, not with our talents and accolades. What do we comfort one another with? My problems. Hey, I know what you're going through. I'll comfort you. I can help you. I can encourage you, whatever it would be. Don't waste your talents. Also, we saw not only does he want to take us from here to his will, but he also declares who we could be, not how we see ourselves. Do you see that? Again, verse 12, what's he say? The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, valor has to do with military use, combat experience, the Medal of Valor, other things you get. Has to do with that. And as far as we know, Gideon did not really have a lot of experience in warfare. He's not a great, mighty man. He's not a gladiator. He's in the backside threshing wheat. Okay. Secondly, do you also notice, not only does God use the individuals who see themselves in a low estate, secondly, do you also notice this in your Bible reading? God uses the men and women that are always or already busy. He doesn't come and take someone who's just sitting around. Well, okay, I'll use you then, I guess. No, it's somebody that's always busy. Again, you know the old adage, if you want to get something done, find a busy person. Find someone who's already doing something, who's busy for God. Doing something. What can I do in some capacity? God's looking for you. He declares, though, what we could be. Gideon says, well, you talking to me? I have nothing. God is seeking the men and women who are empty, clean vessels. We won't turn there, but you know what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He says in chapter number 2, he says what? In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver and of wood and of earth, but there are also vessels. These vessels are used, what? Some honorable, some dishonorable. And then he says this, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, right? Sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. That whole text there has to do with what? He says, Timothy, keep yourself clean, a vessel clean, a vessel God can use. I reach into the cupboard, grab a glass, and it's filthy. It's got lipstick stains on it. I'm not going to go, all right. Now, my coffee cup, I haven't washed it in 15 years. Amen? You wash that coffee cup, it gets a bad taste in it, doesn't it? It tastes like Dawn soap or something, that dish soap. I don't like that. And anyways, but you know that. You think about it. I've joked about it before. But as being a bachelor, some of you remember those days. Living by yourself. You waited, if you were like, maybe you were a lot better, I was just lazy, okay. But you waited till the dishes got about this high in the sink, and then you ran out of dishes before you washed them, right? I mean, you're looking around for plastic cups. I mean, the used cup from KFC and Taco Bell, you're reusing that. I don't know what. And then you finally force yourself to do the dishes. Okay, I'm just confessing some of that to you. I'm looking for a clean vessel. I want someone I can use. Now listen, he says, I'm declaring what you could be. Now what are you declared as being? A child of God? We're called kings and priests. We're called men and women of God, that we have his last name. We're part of the family of God. We have so many titles given to us. We're the redeemed, we're the atoned, we are the anointed, we are the moving forward for God, we are filled with the Spirit, spiritual children. There's many things we could talk about. He says, I want you to see what I see. We have a false view of ourselves, again, if you're like me. We think we're something when we're not. Paul warns us, he says, be careful, those of you think you're something, take heed lest ye fall yourself. Now, there's a negative side and a positive side. We often will think of ourselves in a very, very bad light. Well, I could never. But also, if you're not careful, we often think of ourselves in a better light than we really are, right? And you realize that real quickly. There's a pecking order in life, right? And you watch it out on the playground. The kids get out there and all of a sudden you see the pecking order taking place, right? You see it if you have multiple children in the home like we do. There's a pecking order, okay? The little ones never get to say much. Okay, it's the older ones that do all the talking and they control what's going on and what games they're going to play. And you think about this, he says, listen, I want to declare and show you who you are. Okay, let's move on. We also see that God then says, I will prove to you what I'm saying. Now, let's go on. We already read verse 14. Go to verse 16 again. Verse 16, the Lord said unto him, surely I'll be with thee, thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. He said unto him, if now I find grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, and the flesh he put in a basket, he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. The angel of the Lord did this thing. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, touched the flesh, unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire of the rock, consumed the flesh, the unleavened cakes. The angel of the Lord appeared or departed out of his sight. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Gideon then builds an altar unto the Lord. Now, the question arises, is it okay to question the Lord? Is it okay to, if he calls you, you feel a burden of God to do something, is it okay to ask him to prove that this is what he wants you to do? No, it's not. You can ask the Lord. People get real nervous about asking God things. Now, we can ask in a reverent, respectful, honoring way, right? When people are very blasphemous and bold in the way they speak to God, we got to be careful about that. You know that as dear Christians. It's okay to ask him, Lord, is this what you want me to do? There's a little bit of doubt and fear in all of our hearts, absolutely. But if God's burdening your heart today about something, maybe something to do, stepping out by faith, maybe it's having to handle a difficult situation, I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, you can ask the Lord, Lord, prove, declare, and show me that you want me to do this. Now, we do not believe in signs and wonders, particularly. Okay, we believe we're in this dispensation of grace today, where we have the revealed word of God to us in the Bible. But God will do certain things. If you're like me before, he's done this, where he'll maybe send somebody and they'll make a comment about something. And you go, oh, that was interesting. Or there's a driving down the road, you see a sign with something on it that brings to memory something of that nature, clarifies something that God's doing in your heart. He'll do things like that, but we don't look for signs, you know that. But he asked God for a proof of it, legitimacy. And when the angel of the Lord consumes, if you will, this meal, he says, oh, now I know. But I want you to notice this as well. We find here now this proof, God calls him to action. Verse 25, because I want to hone in on this real quick and then we'll get to our last few points. Verse 25, notice, and it came to pass the same night, the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down, notice, the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood in the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, he did it by night. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash had done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Interesting story. Now, what Gideon is called to do by God is to go take down the false pagan idol of his father. Now, how'd you like that? That's a little family division right there. And my point in this one is this. You and I must understand, before we win the war, before he goes and fights and defeats the mighty army with those 300 men, he has to win the battle. And you know where the battle usually is? At home, in the home. If you're like me, I want to do great things for God, but often it comes back to the battle at home. Before I win the war, I've got to fight the battle or win the battle. Now, the Lord says to Gideon, I want you to go and take those things down. I want you to go, and he says, by night, and destroy the altar of Baal. Now, you know Baal. Baal will be a continual enemy of the nation of Israel. Even to this day, they're still fighting. He's of another name, but still Baal. Baal worship. If you've ever studied this, it's very fascinating. You can find it all over the internet. They have images of Baal, the little false god that they created. And it looks very similar to a lot of the idol worship we have today, the Oscars and other things of that nature. Very interesting. Idol worship. And he says, I want you to go tear it down and get rid of it. Well, he goes and does this, takes 10 of his servants, you know the story, and he goes, destroys it, and he sets up an altar, basically, to the Lord. And the next morning, his father, who it was his idol worship, Joash, apparently after seeing this, he amazingly stands with his son instead of these idol worshipers. Did you know your life that you lead for Christ and the stand you take for God and the steps of faith you take, not everyone's going to be excited about it, but your family's watching. We never know what we do, just on the microcosm, if you will, of things, the small scale of things, the little things that you do, the impact it makes on the people around you. I'm telling you today, just being faithful to church, just being faithful to your Bible, I mean, really, just trying to live a holy life, you may not see it now, and you're not going to get people patting you on the back, Grandma, okay, Daddy. Thanks so much, Daddy, for being a faithful man of God. You're not going to get that. But who or whom are you trying to please? See, remember, Paul says, please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. My goal is to please him. I'm sorry. I want to do what God wants me to do. And Joash says, now, what are you going to plead for Baal? He's done nothing for us. Now, the reality of it is, Baal's done nothing for them. Baal has put them into captivity. Baal has now put them under arrest with the Midianites. The Midianites come by, steal all of their grain, steal all of their food, take all of their things, rape and murder all of their people. I mean, you think about it. At what point does America come to the point and say, listen, it's not working the way we're doing it. It's not working. When are we going to come back to the Bible? Now, I'm so thankful we've had a lot of righteousness in our nation of late. We're turning back to God's way. But still, we know we're still afar off. And his father says, are you going to plead for Baal? And before we go and fight the battle that God has called us to do, remember from point A to point B, he's calling us over to his will. He's going to, along the way, give us little battles, to test us and see if we can make it. I don't know what you're dealing with today, but I know almost all of you in here are dealing with something. Work-related, relationship problems, health problems, other things that we are going through. Whenever you walk into church and see people with a big smile, okay, behind that smile is a lot of grief and pain. We know that. And I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. But for you, remember this. God is working. God is for you. If you'll keep yourself clean and sincere and honest and serving God faithfully, it doesn't eliminate all of your problems. Okay? But what is it? It gives you the confidence that God is for you no matter what battle you're going through. Will there come a war one day? Probably. We know that. We're no fools to think that we're not going to have challenges in life and difficulties. And he says to Gideon, go forward and do what I've called you to do. Now we understand this. One of the great prophets of the Old Testament say, if you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horsemen? Have you read that yet? If you can't run with the footmen, he's saying to the nation of Israel, you think you can do some mighty exploits for God and you're self-righteous? You can't even run with the infantry. They're already defeating you and you expect to run with the horsemen and chariots? These are the elite soldiers. These are the special ops guys, okay? Don't get delusional in your mind to think that you can do this. You and I must trust in him. It affected his family. His father acknowledged the truth. The father was apparently blinded by idolatry. He realized the truth. He confronted the actions of his son. And I love this. The father stood between the idolaters and his son, which represented truth. I'm so thankful for our fathers and grandfathers, grandmothers and mothers in here today that have said, I'm going to stand between the false pagan idolaters of this world and the truth for my children. And you ought to thank God you have children that are in church today. You ought to thank God you have children that are not running around in the world. They're in church today. They're serving God in whatever capacity. And say, thank God for that. You will affect the people around you. You know, people want authentic, genuine leadership that they can follow. They were looking for somebody, although they didn't say it, they were looking for somebody to bring them out of bondage. They were looking for somebody that would stand up and lead. There was a lot of leaders in this day, but it took a young man on the backside of nowhere who was a nobody to lead. I'll do it. What is it going to take for us today? I'll do it. I'll do it. I don't know what's going on over here with these weeds, but I'll pull them. I don't know what's going on over here with this and these things and this and that, but I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Whatever I can do, we're looking for leaders. Now, let's keep going. A few more here and we'll wrap it up. But God wants men that are willing and faithful. Okay, now go to chapter 7 with me because I want to get into this. Chapter 7, verse 3. Pick up there. Now, therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead, and there return to the people 22,000, and there remain 10,000. That thing was cut in half. Now he says, I want you to go forward and fight the Midianites. You know this, hundreds of thousands of soldiers and etc. and all the things that they had. Again, you must understand the Israelites were poor. They had nothing. They literally had a stick and a spear. And by the way, God doesn't need our weaponry. We've learned this before. We just got through this in our Bible reading. Okay? Doesn't need our weaponry. He'll fight for us. And Pharaoh's army came over that grassy knoll, and behind him was Pharaoh's army. In front of him was the Red Sea. And they said, oh, Moses, you brought us out here to die. And he said, hold your peace. Basically, in modern vernacular, shut up. Okay? Shut your mouth and listen to what God has for us. Sometimes that's the best thing to do, just shut your mouth and listen to God, right? Amen, I've learned that. Okay, he doesn't need our weaponry. And it was cut in half. Who's afraid? Who's fearful? And half of them said, I'll go. I'll go. Just go ahead and leave. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you go, Lord, are you sure you know who you're dealing with here? I mean, you're talking to Tim here. Are you sure you know what you're doing, Lord? I don't know what to do. I'm in over my head. The people are too many. Too many? Bring them down into the water. We read this. I'll try them there. Notice, I will try them for thee there. Pay attention to the wording of your Bible. He doesn't say, Gideon, I want you to sit and one by one try every man and make sure he's... No, God says, I'll handle that for you. You know, God will weed the people out. It says of his people, he prunes us. He prunes the churches. He does the work for us in a lot of ways. Thank God for that. But notice, not everyone that was willing and unafraid was worthy to serve. Did you catch that? He says, if you're afraid, scared, go ahead and leave. Half of them left. So not everyone that's bold, that was remained of the 10,000, not everyone that was bold and strong and faithful, I'll fight, I'll go forward. You remember what Peter said? Lord, although all these guys abandon you, I'll fight for you. He says, will you? This very night, you're going to deny you know me. Not me. Not everyone that was bold and strong and unafraid was worthy to serve. But notice the wise and the vigilant. There's something about vigilance. You remember the story, and I said this last time, but the men that just dropped their face down into the water because they were so thirsty, they're not worthy. They're not vigilant. But the men that knelt down on one knee and kept an eye out and slurped the water up. I don't want an arrow shooting straight through the top of my head. I'm going to be vigilant. Is it any wonder that both Peter and Paul and John and James and Jesus all said, be sober, be vigilant. Be vigilant, be aware of what's going on. Paul says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Foolish people walk with their head down. Foolish people walk with their head in the sand. Foolish people are on their phone doing this instead. Godly people have a walking around. Why? Because we have an adversary, the devil, who walketh about as a roaring lion. Notice the wording, not a tame lion, not a crouching, roaring lion. He's making himself known. And some Christians walk right headlong into a roaring lion when we should have been vigilant. Now again, okay, many of these men, although they were unafraid, were not worthy. You know, many today serve for the wrong reasons, wrong motives. Many desire recognition and promotion instead of just simply being used. Many are called, the Bible says, but few are chosen. The chosen men walk circumspectly. The chosen men were ready for battle at all times. Can I warn you and encourage you? Friends, you need to be aware and ready for battle at all times. We're not caught off guard. Why would this happen to us? I mean, it came out of left field, Lord. I didn't know we're ready for battle at all times. We're ready to lead. We're ready to go forward. We're ready. You don't think Gideon was afraid? You don't think Gideon was one of the men that wanted to just go home? Let me just go, Lord, I was fine just threshing wheat on the backside of nowhere. I was fine doing my job. I don't know if I can do this. No. You don't think Ruth was fine just being an old maid? You don't think Esther was fine sitting back being waved with palm leaves and being fed grapes and wearing her nice mink coat? If I perish, I perish. You don't think Joseph was fine? You don't think Jacob was fine? You think Moses was fine? He had his retirement, 401k cashed in. He was ready to go. Just sit back and relax for the rest of his years. You don't think they were fine? God called them to do a great work. Were they fearful? Sure. Were they scared? Yes. Okay, let's keep going. We see his influence is far beyond. Now we know the story of it. Oh, let's see. Go to verse 7 here. Let's read these and we'll bring it home here. The Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you. Deliver the Midianites into thine hand. Let all the other people go every man into his place. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man into his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. Came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou by with Phurah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went down with Phurah his servant and to the outside of the armed men that were in the host, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of these lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand of the sea for multitude. Now listen to what happens. Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. He said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian. Came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, "This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host." Now hang on a second. These guys know who he is? Can you imagine Gideon sitting there with his servant and going, "They just said my name. They know who I am." These men already knew they were going to die tomorrow. They already knew what was going to happen. Do you remember what happened at Jericho? They come out of Egypt, they cross the sea, and the first city they come to is Jericho, the heavily fortified city in all the valley. Your first battle is sometimes your biggest battle, but notice what it says. You remember? The spies go in there, Rahab the harlot, "We've been waiting for you." "You have?" She basically said, "Yeah, what took you so long? Where you been for 40 years? Where you been? We've been waiting. We've heard of all of that God did in Egypt. We heard all that he did. And I want to tell you something. Although people are ungodly and blasphemous out there, they know who God is and they know what your God can do. We doubt and fear." "Whoa, I don't know. We're just lonely Christians over here. Hope we're not." Friends, stand up with boldness and faith and say, "Listen, although the world's against me, I serve the risen Savior. I serve the God of all gods. You can't hurt me. No weapon formed against me shall prevail. Go ahead and cuss at me and curse at me. Go ahead and talk bad about me. Go ahead and kick me out of your little organization. Go ahead and get rid of me out of your little whatever it is. Fine with me. Go ahead and fire me. I don't serve you. God will provide for me and my family. He'll take care of us. You take a stand for God, he'll take care of you." And these people said, "It's nothing else but the sword of Gideon." Now, do you think there were several Gideons in Egypt or in Israel? Probably. It's a common name. Notice what it says. The son of Joash. Okay, that brings it home a little closer. It's like them saying your first and then last name and then your address. Oh, okay, yeah, that is me. Isn't it amazing to think that God knows where you are and God has put in the ears and the hearts of your enemies that you're on his side? God will deliver Gideon. God's going to take care of it. He told it to the people. Verse 15, he says, "Arise, for the Lord hath delivered it into your hand." You think Gideon came back upside the hill and said to all the men, "Hey guys, listen, I know we're a little scared and fearful, but let me tell you what just happened. Let me tell you what they said, man. Listen, it's all good. It's going to be all right. It's going to be just fine. If you read this book, it's going to be just fine, friends. It's going to be fine. We know the end." The most amazing thing, not the most, one of them, about being a child of God is that we have this incredible book that tells us the future. No other book does that. No other religion does that. As a child of the mighty God, we can turn to the back and we read the last of it all. But how many of us walk around fearful and scared and timid about this whole world, and they tell us that we can't do what we want to do, and we get so scared and we get so lonely and we get so fearful, and yet we have not been in the Word of God. For when you're in the Word of God, you hear the end story. And Gideon came up the hill and he said, "Fellas, listen, this thing's in the bag. We've got this thing." And those men went forward and they did what they were supposed to do. Verse 16, let's hastily read this. He divided the 300 into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, "Look on me and do likewise." By the way, that's the mark of a leader. "Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me. Then blow ye the trumpets also on every one on every side of the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." So Gideon and the 300 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their hands and the trumpets in their hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord said, "Every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host." And the host fled to whatever word that is in the border of whatever word those are. Okay, so we see, he said, listen, he didn't have to do anything. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says God will fight for you. God will fight for you. Again, what are you challenged with today? Can I encourage you, number one, ask God and allow God to take you from here to here. Lord, I want to join you in your work wherever you are. By the way, this is not for God necessarily. This is for our benefit. People don't get that. When you join God, when you surrender your life to serve God and in His perfect will, this is for your benefit. Then we understand that God declares who we truly are. God wants so much more for you and for me than we want for ourselves. You know that? He wants so much more for us than we want for ourselves. It's sad sometimes to think about. I want to use you in a mighty way. Yeah, Lord, but what? No, He says, I'll do all the work. I'm just wanting to know if you will follow me. I want to know if you will just listen to me and surrender. Now we see this. We go throughout and see all of this. I must hasten and wrap it up here. But Gideon and his men did a great work for God. It is a renowned story that is still told, by the way, in secular places. You go to West Point today. At West Point, they study and require the students to study Joshua and Gideon. These men in their military campaigns, fascinating. For the first time in world history, they call it military history. Up to the point of Joshua, nobody had ever ran what they call a flank. Everyone fought straight forward. You see it in the old movies like Braveheart or whatever. You know, the two armies come on the grassy knoll and they come down and converge in the valley. For the first time in military history, a military stood and Joshua said, you flank this side, you flank this side. We'll mock and make it to look like we're defeated. We'll run down to them, turn around and run back. When you see the smoke of the city, that's your signal. You come in. First time ever. Fascinating. Where'd they get that from? The Lord. Gideon, first time. It's called deceptive warfare. He deceived them. He didn't come in and fight with them. Why? They're too big and too mighty. Came in and said, you hold the lamp. You break the lamp, and it just tick, 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 tick. And they looked up and said, there's hundreds of thousands of them here. We're going to die. And they fought each other, killed each other in the dark. You think about what God can do. We doubt God. Well, God, I don't know. Lord, I just don't know. Give God a chance to be God. Give God a chance to be and prove who He is in your life. Let Him be God. Let God work in your life. Say, God, I want to know what you want me to do. But friends, listen, it starts from going from here to here. Lord, show me what to do. Lead me into this path. God, I am here. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. It's where it's got to start. And His ways are unconventional. His ways are a little strange. God says, I've called you to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. See, that's weird. That's strange. The world is not zealous of good works. They're not excited about doing righteousness. They're excited about being perverted. They're excited about being promiscuous. They're excited about being impure. They're excited about watching filth. They're excited about pleasing themselves in multiple ways. They're excited about hooking up with multiple. I'm telling you, this is the world. That's what gives them a thrill and a high. Children of God, we get a thrill from what? Doing what God wants us to do. You ever do what God wants you to do and you, man, that feels good. I want to do what God wants me to do. And no weapon can hurt us. God will, in fact, fight for us. God will, in fact, fight our enemies. The only reason, if you read your Bible, the nation of Israel had to continually fight battles is because of their disobedience. God would have fought every battle for them. He never once told them to go ahead and start sharpening sticks. Go ahead and get your weaponry ready. No, God said, I'm going to fight for you. And the renown of this was taking place from Jericho. We fast forward all the way through the valley of all of those people, those enemies of God. Now we get to the story of Gideon, the Midianites. They're waiting. Today, my friends, we can fast forward to the end times. We find these groups still there in that valley today. You have the Jewish people. You have the Midianites, the Ammonites, the Amalekites, the Philistines. They're all still there. And guess what they're all doing? Converging on Israel as we speak. As we speak, you think about now, we see the end result. We're going to get to end time here, Lord willing, on our Wednesday night series in the next couple of months. I'm hoping to do that again. But we're going to see the fascinating story of this. But we fast forward to all of it, and the end of it is what? The crux of it is what? We're on the winning side. Don't forget that. It's not that we might, it's that we will. Okay, we're victorious. God is the God of all gods. He's in control right now of everything. And I think Christians, if you're like me, preaching to myself, need to walk around with more of a giddy up in our step, because we know we're on the winning side. We know it. Gideon was fearful. That's fine. Gideon was afraid. That's normal. Gideon had questions for God. That's normal. Gideon was a little bit, I don't know what to do, Lord. I'm fearful. I mean, he says, okay, I want you to go tonight. First step is go tear down daddy's Baal worship. No. I can deal with people over here, but not my family. And he goes forward by night as an act of faith, and he does what God calls him to do. And then he calls him to greater heights and greater glories and greater service for the Lord. Can I encourage you today with that? My friends, if we're going to thrive in the new year, you know this. I say it repeatedly. It sounds like a broken record. We've got to trust God. You've got to allow God to move you from point A to point B, from your will to His will. You've got to surrender your life. Say, God, I want to know what you want me to do. Some of our young people are trying to make big decisions right now. Where to go to school, who to marry, what to do. Big decisions. You folks remember those days. Okay? You pray for them. But friends, young people, can I encourage you? Surrender your life to God. You will not regret one step of faith. Not one. Will it be hard? Yes. Will you have to neglect some things? Will you have to maybe separate from someone you wanted to be with? Sure. I don't know. But you will see the rewards if you trust the Lord. We know that, right, as adults? Our young married couples, middle-aged folks, some of our senior citizens, thank God for you. But you know the truth, that if we do not serve and be faithful to God and let Him be God in our lives, we're going to fail. Can you imagine where Gideon would be if he didn't follow the Lord? He could have said no. By the way, just side note really quick and I'll be done. God is a gentleman. He never forces any of you to be in His will. Never does. He would have already done it because He's God. Never forces it. Doesn't twist our arm. Okay, Lord. Okay. I'm sorry. I'll serve you. Never does that, does He? He always invites us. Would you? Well, Lord, what's in it for me? Remember the apostles said that? What's in it for me? Now, as you mature and grow, that question changes. He never twists our arm, never forces you. Listen, stop trying to think of God as this God that's trying to force us to do all these things. If I don't do it, He'll punish me. If I don't do it, He'll give me cancer. If I don't do it, boy, all these bad things will happen. That's not God. God says, I want to invite you to do the work. I want to give you a better life. I want to show you that. Now, again, I'm preaching to the choir today. I thank God for all of you being so faithful in proving that. But would you give God a chance? If you're going to thrive, you've got to keep God first and do what He's called you to do. Okay.